Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me here, I go.
Your host for the program is Mark Meek. Your co-host is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, all of our listeners out there. We want to welcome you for tuning in tonight. Be sure, just set your DVRs for anything that's going on.
If there happened to be something else going on.
It just happened to be something else you might want to watch.
Just record it. You know, everybody will talk about it later.
So. That's right. That's right. Because you know what? God is on the move.
Absolutely.
God is on the move. And we want to share about that tonight.
And if you were asleep a minute ago, you're not anymore.
Not after that intro. Wasn't that awesome? God is on the move. I tell you what. Send me because I'm ready to go.
Woo.
Woo, dogs. Hey, Mark, how are you doing? We got Mark on the line with us.
Hey, I'm doing fine. It does sound really upbeat and really good. I like it.
It just kind of puts you in a pep in your step, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you got a guest tonight.
Yes, sir, we do.
Other than me, you ready to introduce him?
I think so. I'm really excited. We've got H.R. Sharp here with us tonight. He is from Perryton, Texas. Welcome, H.R.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
You know, I was talking earlier to Jim, and I said H.R. Sparks. And he said, oh, is that his Marlon's brother? And I said, oh, shoot, not Sparks. I meant Sharp. So I almost did it again. But not that would be a bad connection, but that's how I met you through was Marlon Sparks.
Yes, yes. I've been going to the church about 15 months now, but I actually knew Marlon a long time ago, actually before he even got married. And, matter of fact, they had their 40th anniversary of him pastoring here in Perryton. So I've known him longer than that.
Yeah, that's what you guys have been doing this weekend. Isn't that correct? You've been having some special meetings and, having some speakers come in and celebrating those 40 years there in Perryton.
Yes, it was fantastic. I tell you, the love, the power, the gifts, everything was flowing. It was just a marvelous, marvelous meeting.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, as we get started here tonight, you know, one of the things is we kind of got to meet up last week, I believe it was, and we were talking about some things, and I really got excited about that. And that's really what I wanted to talk to you about tonight. But real quick, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background and a little bit about who you are?
Well, how far back you want me to go?
How about 1982? No, you can go back as far as you want.
Well,
whatever you want to share with us, we'd be happy to hear.
My secular job, I was an optometrist. I'm retired. I got out of optometry school and got commissioned into the Navy. I was a Navy eye doctor. And while I was in the Navy, I met a bunch of wild people and wound up getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then after the Navy, I went to a place in Central Texas called Cameron, Texas. And while we were there, the Lord called me to pastor. And I pastored about 15 years there. And it took about 15 years for me to figure out I wasn't a pastor, but I was a teacher. So I gave up the pastorate. And then the Lord moved us to Olton, Texas. And I helped with several churches up there. And also doing eye work. Like I said, 3 years ago, I retired. So all I'm doing now is just teaching. I teach on Sunday nights. right now I'm teaching, I'm using some of the material from Andrew Womack. And we're teaching his course on the authority of the believer, which it's just, it's dynamic.
Oh yeah, I bet
so. Yeah, it is. And it's a little different teaching style than what I'm used to, because what they want you to do is read the section to the people, which basically I'm reading his book on the authority of the believer. And so much of the church world hasn't got a clue of what they have. And for a long time, the Lord's had me teaching on who we are in Jesus, what we have because of the grace of God, and what we can do because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us. And like I said, most people have no clue.
That's right.
Are we still there?
We're here.
Okay. My phone
that's
did
right.
something weird. And, we've got to learn that we're more than just sweet little darlings going to church to get our brownie points from Jesus.
Amen.
Church was designed to equip the believers to do the work of ministry. Now, that's according to Ephesians 4:11. It says he gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And the King James says for the perfecting of the saints, but there's a better translation of that is it's the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Lord has called me to do, is to help teach people that they have a calling. They're not just little sweet darlings waiting to go to heaven.
Go to the sweet by and by.
Yeah. You know, if that was the case, if all the reason we got saved was to go to heaven, then why don't we just hold them down when we baptize them, but drown them and say, okay, Lord, here's another one. Take them on home.
Yeah, there you go.
He's left us here for a reason. And he's told us to do his works. Matter of fact, in John, there's a section there where Jesus says, I must work the works of the Father. But if you dig into that a little bit, it doesn't say I must work the works. It says we must work the works. We are called, each and every person is called into ministry.
Mm-hmm.
For so long, the church has put that title on the pastor.
That's
the pastor
right.
is not the minister of the church. He's the pastor. And like I said, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, what ministry is that? It's the ministry that Jesus walked in. He said, the works that I do, you will do, and greater.
That's right.
And the majority of the church is completely ignorant of that fact, or they have this hangdog attitude of, well, I'm too bad. I couldn't ever do that. You've got to understand that none of us deserve anything from God.
That's right.
But by the grace of God, I get it anyway. And you're just going to have to realize what God has done, what he has provided, and then you just have to basically take it. You know, there was a scripture that used to bug me for years. It's the scripture that says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And I did get a little irritated with the Lord. Say, Lord, why are you letting these violent people take the kingdom from us? And he finally spoke to him. He says, no, my people are to be the violent, and you have to take it. I said, well, why do we have to take it if it's a gift? And he said, because there's an enemy out there trying to keep you from it.
That's right.
You know, the enemy has done a good job of keeping the church ignorant of who they really are. You know, I am a child of the Most High God. I have an inheritance. I am loved by the Father God the same that he loves Jesus. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus and me accepting that, believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth, I'm saved. He sees Jesus.
That's right.
He's resident within me when I became born again. That's what the word says. You know, the Spirit comes in, and I am completely indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I like what Andrew Womack says, you're wall to wall Holy Ghost.
Wall to wall, that's right.
And as long as we just decide that my calling is to sit on the pew and say amen to the preacher and make him feel good, we're missing God. You know, there's whole generations of the church that have literally missed God. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's millions that are missing God right now because they think all they have to do is just go to church, get their brownie points, and be a sweet little darling, and that's all that's required. And one of these days, I'll go home and be with Jesus. Well, if you're born again, you will go home to be with Jesus, but there's rewards to be won. And probably the greatest reward is well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Oh, yes.
And not everybody that goes to heaven, I don't believe, is going to hear that. Because he's called us. And we need to take our place.
That's right. You know, actually also too, I think sometimes, and I'll get your opinion on this, but sometimes I believe, you know, I'll watch, revivals on TV and they talk about these hundreds of people that have come forward to dedicate their lives to Christ, which is so moving, and I'm happy to see that. But I wonder how many times these people, that is their first time, they get stuck in that. The reason why maybe they're just sitting in the pew is because they're not good enough to do that. Rather, they're looking at what I've done rather than what Jesus has done, and they get stuck in that trap of like constantly trying to keep themselves saved.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not our work. That's his work. I'm saved by grace through faith.
That's right.
And so much of the church has added a little law with that. Yeah, I understand you're saved by grace through what Jesus did. But once you get saved, you got to maintain your salvation by going to church and studying the word and fasting and giving and all this other stuff. That has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is in Jesus and Jesus only.
That's right.
Okay, he said, I am the way. And he doesn't say, I am the way, but once you get saved, then you better get back into Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all this other stuff and learn all these laws that I gave out. You know, the law wasn't given to save people. The law was given to show people their state. How hopeless it was for them to even possibly get saved and point them towards a coming Savior. And matter of fact, the word says that excuse me, the law actually empowers sin.
Mm-hmm.
It can't deliver you from sin. You know, Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the one that took care of your sin. And the Father no longer sees you as a sinner. He has a special name for every born-again believer. It's called saint. You know, and we've thought, well, saints are those super-duper special Christians that's done great and mighty things. No. Several times in the epistles, Paul called the church saints.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Most people go, well, you know, maybe that's the pastor and a few of the inner circle, but certainly not me. You know, I'm having a hard enough time just staying saved. Well, you got to get out of that. Because you were redeemed once, and it's not going to happen again. Jesus went to the cross once. And when you truly believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, it's a done deal. My spirit man is completely sealed in with the Holy Spirit. I like to say I'm caulked in. There's nothing to get to me. Sin cannot touch my spirit man. And see, we've looked at people as being the whole man, and all you're seeing is their house.
That's right.
You're not, you know, and you and I have never seen our real self. So, well, wait a minute. I've looked in the mirror. No, you were looking at your house. And the real me is the spirit. And the spirit man will live forever. And that's what's so devastating about being lost. It's going to be forever. And once you've received Jesus, you're saved. Quit worrying about your salvation and start studying and finding out and going to church and being taught who you are. You know, I am a child of the Most High God. I am holy. I am righteous. And then find out what I do have. You know, I have gifts. I have power. And then what can I do? I can use those gifts to lift other people up, get them saved, healed, whole, and delivered. You know, I preached a sermon one time on average Christianity, because I've heard so many people say, well, I'm just an average Christian. If you really knew what average was in the kingdom of God, you'd never say that. Because average is a person that is winning the lost, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, performing signs, wonders, and miracles. That's average. How much of the church even comes close to average? But that's our calling that we're supposed to walk in. I am called as a minister of the Most High God. I can't explain it. I'm not going to soften that. I've had people say, well, that's just too tough, or that you can do that, but not me. No, the Lord says we can all do it.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Harry's made us all to be able ministers.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, the Lord's the one that's making us, and I've always heard this little saying, God don't make no junk. He's made us to look like Him, act like Him, perform like Him, do the things that He said we could do. And we got to get over me. You know, because we look at the mirror and go, dear God, I can't do anything. I don't have any power. I don't have any ability. Well, that's right, in yourself.
That's right.
But I'm not by myself anymore. I've got the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead in me. That same spirit, that powerful spirit that raised Jesus up after being dead for 3 days, He dwells in me. Who am I to say I can't do what Jesus said I can do? You know, there's a lot of Christians going around calling God a liar. And, you know, it's got to stop. If He says you can do it, then hunker down and do it.
So
we didn't. Yeah, go ahead.
So HR, most most of our lives, we spend our lives comparing ourselves to someone else, either for good or for bad. And that's really not what God has said that we're supposed to compare ourselves to.
No, because what happens is you start comparing yourself to someone else. And say, well, I hadn't done some of the stuff they'd done. Surely I'm better than that. I've heard so many people say, well, when I get there, I'm sure he'll weigh my bad with my good, and I'm sure my good outweighs my bad. That'll send you to hell.
Yeah.
But that does not get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you into the kingdom of God is through Jesus, accepting him as Lord and Savior. Your goodness or how much bad you've done is not the issue. You know, sin is not going to be the one that keeps you out of heaven. Well, there is one sin that will keep you out of heaven, but only sin is rejecting Jesus as Lord and Savior. All the rest of them are just effects of that sin. And you say, well, you know, I've sinned since I got saved. Well, basically the outer two-thirds of you did. Your spirit man didn't.
You know, we talked about the other day about the difference between being saved and being confident in that salvation and also in sanctification. Because, you know, I think sometimes people get the idea that, okay, Jesus died for me, I'm saved, so I can do whatever I want, and I'm going to go to heaven. Well, that's not what we're saying. We're saying is once you become saved, there becomes a sanctification process. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've always heard it this way. I've been sanctified, and I'm being sanctified. What that really means is my spirit man was sanctified. It is set apart for the use of the Lord. I am his child. He has called me to do great and mighty things, just like Jesus did. But the outer two-thirds of me, which is the soul and the body. Of course, the soul has the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the flesh basically follows what the soul wills to do. So as I am born again, my spirit man is saved, it's sanctified, it's called and set apart for the work of God. But I've got to work the rest of that out to my outer man. That's why the word talks about renewing your mind with the washing of the water of the word. That word renew is an architectural term. It's a term that is, if you were to renew a room, so you can go in and you're going to remodel your bedroom. And what you do is you would strip it down, that you'd take the sheetrock off, strip it all the way down to the studs, completely gut that thing, and start over. And that's what we have to do with our minds. Because our minds are full of falsehoods. Our minds are full of false teachings. And we have to get those out. We have to begin to think like God does. And you find that out through studying the Word. And you need to begin to talk like he did. And Abraham was one of God's favorites because he knew he would call those things that weren't as though they were. In other words, they weren't in the natural, but they were in the spirit. And if you believe it, it becomes in the natural also. But, we've got to realize that even though my spirit man doesn't sin, I can sin. And the word says that the wages of sin is death. In other words, your spirit man is saved, but your body can wind up killed.
Mm-hmm.
Or your finances can wind up wiped out. Or your marriage can wind up in divorce. Because the enemy's out there seeking whom he can kill, he can destroy, who can ruin. And sin is an open door for him to come in and just wipe you out. So even though I'm guaranteed heaven, I'm guaranteed salvation, that doesn't mean I can just go do whatever I want to. If I die, yeah, I'll go to heaven. but I may die 20 years early.
Right.
Or I may wind up losing the family fortune, or four or five or six different divorces. And, you know, so we want to live holy. We want to think holy. We want to speak holy. We want to act holy, because that's the way we are on the inside. We've got to work out that sanctification into that outer two-thirds of the man. And as our outer man lines up with the inner man, then we begin to act like and function like Jesus.
Well, do you think that sometimes when people get saved, they have this thing where they're automatically, Jesus is going to do this miracle in them and change everything in them overnight, and then they're never going to sin again? Do you think they sometimes have that mentality, and then whenever they begin to fall back into their old way of doing things, then they mm-hmm. may have that concept of, well, maybe then I didn't get saved?
Yeah, that's a subject that Andrew covers widely. And, you know, you get saved and everything's wonderful, and about 2 days later you say something you know you shouldn't have said, or you do something you shouldn't be doing. And that thought is, and that a lot of that's coming from pulpits, that thought is, well, I guess it didn't take. I didn't get saved. No, you did. Your spirit man got saved, but you're still functioning as the outer man, as if you were still the old man. That's what has to be renewed. That's what has to be changed. But just because you mess up and sin, you do not lose your salvation.
So when you talk about that process of renewing your mind and that sanctification process, explain to the listeners what does that look like for a new believer? How long does that take? When should I expect these things? What does it look like? Explain that to us for a little bit.
You got about 4 weeks.
Is that all? 4 weeks?
Yeah. Well, I could condense it into 4 weeks, but you know, when we're born again, the word says we're babes. And so much of the church, someone gets saved, and then they don't act like they're saved, and then they question their salvation. You know, a baby is still pooping in their diaper. They're still screaming and crying, and the world and the earth and the sun and the moon all rotate around them, and they're very selfish, and we don't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it usually takes about a year or so, some sooner, some later, to even walk. And I had 4 kids, and not one time did they start to walk and fall down that I scold them.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm going, glory to God, do that again. That was wonderful. That was, oh man. And see, that's what Jesus does. That's what the Father does when you begin to step out and start believing his word. You're going to stumble and fall, and you may poop in your diaper again, but he's excited simply because you took the step.
That's right.
And as you begin to get into the word, as you begin to practice the word, you'll begin to see results of the word. You know, I stumbled early in my Christian walk. I stumbled upon the scripture that says believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm saying, dear God, I got 2 hands. Lord, give me some sick ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd pray for the sick and pray for the sick, and nothing seemed to be working. But I was just, I had that I call it bulldog tenacity. My mother called it stubborn. I was bound to determine, if God says it, I can do it. And I was praying for people, and it doesn't seem like anything was happening. One day, a lady came up, and I had my hands on her forehead, and I closed my eyes, and I was just praying the word. Oh, God, according to your scriptures, by the stripes that Jesus bore on his back, this woman is healed. And I was just praying like that, and all of a sudden I realized she wasn't under my hand anymore. And I opened my eyes, and she was on the floor. And my first thought was, dear God, I killed her. But I looked, and her face had a smile on it. And she got up a little while later, and there was no pain. The fever was gone, and she was totally healed. And I'm going, this stuff does work. But see, just like walking, you didn't take your first step and were an accomplished walker. You fell down a lot. You barked your knees a lot. And you fell on your booty a lot. But eventually you got to where you were walking pretty good. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You have to begin to practice it. You've got to go do the things that the Word says I can do. And as you do it, you become more proficient in it. And it begins to flow. And I've seen some stupendous miracles. And I've even been to South America, and we were asked to deliver a demoniac, and she got delivered, praise God, and caused me a lot of problems later on because I got so stinking prideful that it caused some real problems in my life. But if God says I can do it, then who am I to call God a liar?
Yes. You know,
and that's what we do if we say we can't do it.
That's right. That's right. You know, I have never heard it explained that way as far as in healings and doing the work, you know, works of the Spirit as in the babe. I always just took it as in their walk with Christ, but I didn't translate that into the works of the Spirit. And you know, that just really just excites me. That means all I gotta do is just go out and do it more and do it more and do it more and I'll get better and I'll get better.
Yeah. And see, and it also helps your confidence.
Yes.
Which basically is faith. It's faith building. And the next one you pray with a little more confidence, a little more faith. And we have to grow into these things. There's some things, the first time I did it was proficient. Like the first time I had hands laid on me and prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I spoke in a fluent language. Other people stammer and stutter and, you know, the Word says they have stammering lips and things like this. But I had a full-blown language that I'd never learned before. Have no idea what it was. You know, the Word says we have tongues of men or angels. I have a feeling mine was more angelic because I ain't never heard it before on the earth. But you have to practice the things of God. A lot of people have tried it. They laid hands on someone and nothing happened. So they develop a new doctrine. This stuff's done away with. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be persistent. God is looking for the persistent Christian. And forgive me for the word, but it says violent. I have to be an aggressive Christian. I can't be passive. You get passive and the devil's going to run over you.
That's
right.
Just
completely destroy your life. You have to become aggressive with the things of God. Satan comes against you, you just have to run over him. Bludgeon him over the head with the Word of God. And resist him and he'll flee. But so many people want these things instantaneous. See, we've been raised in the instant potato generation.
The microwave world, that's what I call it.
Yeah, right now. And I've found out over 47 years of praying for the sick, there's multiple ways you can be healed. One is the gift of healing, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the other is laying on of hands. It says believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's an indication that you pray for them. Healing is there, but it slowly manifests out into the physical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just as healed, but it hasn't fully manifested yet. the gift of healing, you lay hands on and that gift hits and boom, it's instantaneous healing. Now, I found over years, a lot of people come front, get prayed for, and they don't get the boom. They go back to their church, their seat in the church, defeated, and say, well, Martha, I didn't get it again this time. And they kill their healing. Majority of healings come through laying on of hands with recovery. The instantaneous boom type healings are rare. I've seen them. They're great. They're wonderful. They're powerful. But I've had probably 100 times more healed with the laying on of hands and recovery. Mm-hmm. So we've got to get out of this instant thing. And what I tell people when I pray for them, I says, okay, I've prayed for you. I've laid hands on you. And as far as the word is concerned, you're healed. Do not open your mouth in a negative way. You go back to your seat. Well, Martha, I got it this time. Well, you don't look like it. Well, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I feel like. The word of God says I had hands laid on me and I am healed from this moment forward. And the majority of healings come that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get out of this instant potatoes or microwave Christianity and start believing the word as it is.
And you know, one of the things that you were talking about is as ministers and as we go and we lay hands on those people, that is a form of God loving on them through us.
Absolutely. You know, First Corinthians chapter 12 has the, what's called the manifestational gifts of the Spirit. And one of those is the, you know, the gift of healing. But if you look up the word, it says, and this gift was given, and this gift was given, and that gift was given. That word gift there is God's gracious love gifts. Anytime you pray for someone, you're allowing the love of God to flow through you. You prophesy to somebody. That's God loving them through you. A miracle happens. That's God loving them through you. Anytime you're ministering to people in the word, in the gifts or anything of this nature, that's God's love actively working in that person through you. I was telling you the other day that I used to go around saying, well, I've got the gifts of healing and I have the gift of congregational tongues. And Lord corrected me one day. He said, no, you don't. He said, when you pray for someone and the gift of healing hits them, it's not your gift. It's their gift.
Mm-hmm.
Let that one sink in.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking. Tick, tick, tick.
I don't have that gift. It flows through me. And the gift is deposited in that person you're praying for. They got the gift. It's called the gift of healing.
That is good. That is really
good. Can you see that?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I can prophesy. And that doesn't make me a prophet. I am a prophesier. There's a big difference between someone that can prophesy and someone that is a bona fide prophet. Big difference. That's one of the fivefold ministry gifts. But if I prophesy to someone, then I'm prophesying love to them. That's the love of God. And, you know, I told you the other day when I first got saved, I determined I not only was going to love Jesus, I was going to love everything he loved. And I found out it was you people. In other words, people.
Yep.
My job is to love them. But I can't do that. I can't love everybody, but God can love them through me.
That is right. You know, actually, our pastor has been teaching on love, and it, to me, that is bringing it all to a whole nother level, because I think we love people and accept them for who they are. But if we go another step further in loving them with those gifts and like you said, allowing God to use you, let that gift to flow through you and deposit that gift within them is that form of God's love for those people. And that just is exciting to me. Because that's what he's saying. He's saying that's what it's about following Jesus. Following Jesus is about becoming love, becoming that love. Mm-hmm. And it's a vast definition of what that becoming love is.
Oh, yeah. Because like I said, you can contrast Peter and John. Peter was always bragging about how much he loved Jesus. It's not about my love for him. I cannot love him like he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't have it within me to love him like he deserves to be loved. John, on the other hand, said, hey, I'm the one he loves. Who was the only apostle that wasn't crucified or killed or martyred? John. Because
mm-hmm.
he understood it wasn't my love to him, it's his love to me. See, the law talks about you've got to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your being. You can't do it. You do not have the capacity in you to love God with everything in you. And the only way I can love other people is to allow him to love through me.
Mm-hmm.
And it really freed me, because there's days I question whether I've got enough love for God. But that's not the issue. The issue is he loves me.
That's right.
He loved me enough while I was yet an enemy of his that he died for me. Could I do that? I'm not going to say I don't think so. I'm going to say there's no way I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not in myself. I'd run and cower in fear. But with him, I can do all things.
That's right. And, you know, I have a thought that just keeps coming back. And so I'm kind of changing the subject here. But I just really feel like there's some listeners out there that may need to hear this. You know, when you become saved and go back to that confidence in who you are and begin to practice those things and know that it's not going to come instantaneously, but it's something that you're going to work towards, that you step forward and you're going to go out and you're going to begin to learn what God is trying to show you through the word. I don't know. It's like, I feel like people are like, I can't go out and minister because of going back to, you know, all the things that I've done and having that expectation of when I have stepped out to do those things of God, they've not worked. And so you talked about that, HR, about how just do it and begin to practice and do it. And if you fall down, you just get right back up and you keep going.
Yeah. See what we're result oriented people, but we've got to understand all he's looking from me is obedience.
Mm-hmm.
He's the results. And when I pray for someone, I've got to the point, whether they get something or not, it's not up to me. I am called to be obedient and lay hands on the sick. I pray for them. I do everything the Word of God says to do. The results are between that person and God.
You not see, a lot on of us. Times, we don't, we are not time, the one performing.
No. And see, the word says that there was a time when Jesus went in his own hometown and said he could do no mighty works. It doesn't say he didn't do any works, it said he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do any mighty works because of their unbelief. I've prayed for people before that didn't believe it. Now I've had some that got healed in spite of it. But I had one lady, because when I operate in the gifts of healing, I can feel it. I can feel it in my hands. And I laid hands on her, and I literally felt the power of God going into her, and it came right back into my hand. And it felt like, have you ever tried to put two north ends of a magnet together?
Yes.
They would resist one another. That's the way it felt. It felt like it was being pushed back into my hand. And she didn't get healed. And I had another guy that had a bad toothache. And we prayed for him. God healed him instantaneously. And he says, "Hey, God doesn't do things like that." And I said, "Yeah, he does. Your tooth's not hurting now, is it?" And he said, "No." He said, I can't believe that." And I said, "Are you going to believe it now?" He said, "Well, yeah." You know, because, you know, God showed me there's two types of people. There's the people that will hear the word and accept it, and then there's people from Missouri. Show me.
Show me.
Yeah, show me, okay? A lot of those show me people don't get near as much as those people that read the word and say, okay, I believe it. But God has even provided for way for Missouri people to get it. He will demonstrate his power. And there's occasionally when someone doesn't believe God still heals, and he'll heal in spite of it. But most of the time, he's looking for their faith. Because just like when he's in his own hometown, he can do no mighty works if there's no faith there. And see, that's our job, is to preach the word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And I had a guy tell me one time, "Well, how long do I have to be in the word?" And I said, "Well, how long you plan on being here?" How long you plan on being alive? That's how much you need to be hearing the word.
That's right.
You can't hear 2 or 3 months and think you got enough. It's not going to work.
So, HR, I've been listening to you talk about the word and talking about all these things about God and then about us. And I'm curious, how did you get hooked into this? What started you down this road?
Well, I told you I went into the Navy, and my wife and I were Methodists at the time, and we met a young couple in the Methodist church that were also visiting another church during the week, because we only had one service a week. So Sunday nights and Wednesday night, we were visiting another church. It was Rock Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, with Ann and John Jimenez. And we got hooked up with some of the people there and started hearing the word. And I was so hungry. It just, everything that was preached to me, I felt like I was a sponge. I was just sucking it up, and they couldn't give me enough. And, see, I had made a bargain with God. Before I got into optometry school, I found out I'd started turning in my applications, and I went up to their office one time to see how hard it'd be to get into optometry school. And the secretary didn't say anything. She just pushed her chair back, grabbed this long filing cabinet, and pulled it out. And there was 600 applicants for that year. I said, "How many did you accept?" And she said, 60. So I just left. Because that'd be like winning the lottery. I haven't ever won anything, man. So I was crushed. And I knew just enough about God that when you're in deep trouble, you need to pray. Well, here was my whole career, my visions of being a help to people, and I wanted to help people see better. It was crushed. So I prayed. I said, "God, if you'll get me into optometry school, I'll become a Christian. I'll marry a Christian woman, and I'll raise a Christian family. Amen." 2 weeks later, a friend of mine went to an optometrist in Bay City, Texas, and he told him about me wanting to be in school. So he said, "Well, have him call, make an appointment." So I went over, and we talked about 5 minutes, and he said, "Just a minute." And he got it. Back then it was a rotary phone. He dialed this number, and he called the dean of the optometry school. He said, Dean, this is Beck. I got a favor. You've been wanting me to get a partner, and I found a young man that I want you to get him in optometry school, and so he can become my partner. And he covered the phone up and said, "What's your name?" And I told him my name, and the dean says he filled all his paperwork out, and I said, I've still got one more paper. And by the time I got it in, I was 2 weeks late for the deadline. And a month later, I get a letter. I had been accepted.
Wow.
About the guy I was talking to was the president of the Alumni Association of the College of Optometry. And so God got me in. I found out later that that year they decided to take 69 instead of 60. And I'm almost positive I was 9. 69, that is. And, but I got in optometry school, and I forgot my bargain. And I graduated, and I went into the Navy as an eye doctor. And December 23rd, 1973, Jesus walked into my living room. Did I see him? No, but I knew he was there. How? I don't know. I just knew Jesus was standing in front of me. And I heard him say these words, "I've come to collect." And I said, "You got me." And I said, it was like I signed on the dotted line, and he left. And from that point on, I've been in love with the Word. I've been in love with people. I can't get enough Word. And this is a failing in a lot of Christians. They don't have any value in the Word of God. And man, that's where the power's at. That's where the everything that we're called to is there in the Word. You know, I've had a lot of people say, you know, the Bible is all about Jesus. And I'm going, well, yeah, to some extent, but the Word of God is about me. I'm in the book. It talks about the children of God. It talks about the saved. It talks about believers. Well, I'm a child. I'm saved, and I'm a believer, so I'm in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You need to start looking at the Bible as more than just a history. You're in the book. Jesus came. He didn't come just to put on a show. He came because of me. He came because of you. He came to save you and get you back into the family. You're in the book. You're throughout the pages of the Bible. You're there. And you've got to understand the value that Jesus holds in you and the deep love. And I can't even fathom that love of a Savior that would leave heaven, put on a body, and suffer ridicule and pain and crucifixion for me.
Yes.
But he did it.
Yes.
And all I can do is paying back with becoming everything he's called me to be.
That's right. And with that being said, as we come to towards the end of this program, I was just wondering if you would be willing to just pray for our listeners out there that are sitting in there and realizing, you know what, it's time for me to minister. It's time for me to take my place in the body of Christ. It's time mm-hmm. for me to step up and love on people. Love on people. If you'd be willing to, if you'd pray for our listeners tonight.
Okay. Well, Father, right now I come to you in the precious name of Jesus. I'm lifting up the body of Christ right now. I'm asking that the eyes of their understanding be open, that their ears be open, that they can hear. Father, I'm asking for a hunger. And Lord, I've operated in that since 1973. I've operated in the hunger for the Word of God. I've hungered and thirsted after the things of God. I've hungered and thirsted after being able to do the things of God. And Father, I ask that some way, somehow, that transfer into every person that is hearing this tonight. They'll develop that hunger for the word. They'll develop that desire for fellowship with other Christians. They'll love hearing the word preached. And Lord, if there's any that are in churches that are not hearing the pure word of God, lead them to where they can be hearing the word. Not only hear the word, but be taught and trained how to be a minister of the Most High God, so that they'll be able to fulfill their calling on this earth. And Lord, help them to understand that maybe they're called as a carpenter, maybe they're called as a mechanic, or maybe they're called as a mommy, but they're also called to win the lost, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Lord, I thank you that their eyes are going to be opened. Their hearts are going to be expanded to the point that they will begin to love not only themselves, but to love other people. And be able to function and flow in the love of God, the power of God, the gifts of God. They'll be able to do everything they've been called to do. And Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I speak a blessing upon this radio station.
Yes.
And I just thank you that this station, somehow people are going to start tuning in. They have no intention on listening to a Christian broadcast. But for some reason, some strange reason, I don't care if you stick it on that station, that they're going to hear the word of God preached. And they're going to accept what God has done for them, what Jesus has done for them, and then turn around and equip them, be fully equipped in everything necessary to make them into a successful, victorious, overcoming minister of the Most High God, going forth and doing the ministry that Jesus said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. And as we go to the Great Commission, he said, the works that I do, you go do them. So Lord, I thank you. If your work is to destroy the works of the darkness, then my works is to destroy the works of darkness. Mm-hmm. So Lord, I thank you. I call forth that mighty revival that you've been speaking to us. That move of God that is going to hair lip this earth is going to bring in the greatest harvest that has ever hit planet earth. So Lord, I thank you. It's coming. We're preparing for it, and we're going to receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that. You know, God is on the move, but let's jump into that move. Thank you, HR, for joining us tonight. We really enjoyed the program. We're going to have you back.
Okay.
If you're willing, we've got to have you back.
Hey, if something happens and nobody shows up, just give me a call. I'll be ready.
All right.
H.R. Sharp.
H.R. Sharp in Perryton, Texas. Tell us you do a Bible study Sunday nights at what time?
Sunday nights at Victory Christian Center. Victory Family Church, I'm sorry.
Okay. Victory Family Center at what time?
We teach it at 6 p.m.
Right. 6 p.m. All right. Thank you, if you guys want to jump in on that, we're just about out of time here. So if you guys want to jump in on that and take a part of what he's got, y'all go out there and do
that.
All
right. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Yes. Thank you.
We will be back next week at this very same time. We want you to join us here along the Kingdom Keys Network for Sunday Night Live.